Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, as we visit together, as we learn from one another. And how can you learn from me, Hardy? You can't hear me. Oh, I'm learning patience and silence. Also, I know you're listening. And so I'm learning, listening. And I'm also, you're teaching me faith in humanity. Because you're going to listen to the whole show. I'll try. Oh, bless you. Thank you for doing that. I am so glad you're with me. So this is a very special, unusual show today. This is going to be my show. So I've heard a while back, there was a religious person. And they said, introduced either the sermon or something by saying, how to lead with a kingdom mindset. I said, I like that, but I want to adopt that title and say how to lead with a Rockford mindset. And that refers to Rockford Files. So this is going to hear from my upcoming show, How to Lead from a Rockford Mindset, a meditation, a garden meditation. So this was the first recording session of that. It's a garden meditation, and it's also an explainer video for a 70s cop show, basically. A lighthearted one, though. And so come with me now on this journey. If you're looking for an audio journey, a place to go, just with your ears will go. And while you can do other things like needlepoint or pettipoint or decoupage, or one of those many, many hobbies that they have on out there now. So please listen and enjoy. And I think you're going to like it. I worked very long and hard on the sound. I used a microphone and some natural things. So you're gonna like this a lot. Enjoy it. Sounds realistic, doesn't it? Police siren, somebody mowing their lawn in the distance. All of it, audio trickery. Yes, those are all sound effects that are added later, except that I'm adding them at the same time, actually. See, I'm speaking to you not from a studio, but from outside. Did you ever have a class and the teacher says, hey, it's such a nice day, let's have the class outside. And the students say, yes, that's great, except for the having a class part. And they all run out and go their separate ways. Sometimes, though, they enjoy the class. Like, let's say maybe it's a birthing class or something, and there's a time crunch. And they don't want to run away from the information. So they go outside and they sit in a circle on the grass, and the teacher sits either in the middle or off to the side in one of those director's chairs. And they just sit there in the beautiful sun. It has not been warm here in a long time. It's been cold. So the minute the sun came out, I thought, I got to go out there and sit in it until I feel sick. And it's lovely. I love doing something that's pleasurable, but that too much might kill you. Not right away, though. That's the thing. That's what's tricky. It's all the fun things. They kill you later. Say, well, oh, later. I can deal with later. No, yes, you can, until it gets there. Oh, has later gotten here? Sometimes it's time to pay the piper. I was sitting in a cafe in France, in Montpellier, actually, and this fella came by. There was a guy setting up, a classical musician. He was about to play flute, and he was setting up his amplification system, and he had out his flute and everything, and he was getting it all ready, and he was going to busk, but he was a sophisticated busker. And then, out of nowhere, comes this lovable tramp with a recorder, recorder like Led Zeppelin. And he starts just noodling on it and dancing around, infuriating the classical flautist. who's like, now they're both buskers, but basically this guy, this piper, needed to be paid to go away. So that's what it means. You pay, it's time to pay the piper. You don't want him to play. That's the thing. You're paying him not to play, this piper. And sometimes he's got pickled peppers and everything like that, I think. That might not be right. And he's also a pieman. This is why they couldn't record early nursery rhymes and everything, because they didn't have the microphones for it. You keep blowing out the screens with all your, what do you call it when you hit consonants, assonance, possonance? Alliteration, a consonant, I don't know. Oh my gosh, it's so great to be with you outdoors. I'm inspired by a couple things today that I wanted to share with you. One is I wanted to share with you, my friend had put up some videos by a gentleman, a spiritual gentleman, sitting in the woods. A guy had a big, big white beard, the kind I used to have. You say, used to have? Yes, I shaved mine. Why? Well, let me tell you, having a beard is like having a mouth in the on the back of your head if you have hair. And every time you want to eat or anything, you've got to part the hair, and then scrambled eggs gets in it. You don't want that, right? Say, can't I move it to the front of my mouth, a head where there's no hair? Exactly. So that's what I'm doing. It's not like I shave my beard. I just move my mouth to a place where it wouldn't get anything. Because you end up eating your hair, and then that's no good either. There's nothing like taking a good bite of your mustache. You just go, why do I have this again? I can cut it off, right? Yes, Bible says no, but go ahead. That's the way I feel about a lot of things. Oh, one of them sitting outside. Bible says no. No, it doesn't. It doesn't at all. Oh, my goodness. I wouldn't want to trick people, though. You could say that all that. Use that as an excuse for a lot of things. Say, oh, yeah, do you want to eat cheese on your burger? You go, is it cost extras? You say, it's 50 cents extra. And says, Bible says that you can, no. Well, yeah, you can't mix the cheese and the meat. Not that it's shouldn't be extra. And you go, I touche. And you lose your theological argument with your weight person. I'm not going to lose an argument with you because I don't have one to begin with. Anyway, so this fellow is at this older gentleman. He's sitting in what they used to call a bucolic setting. It says that upset stomach. No, it's like a outside, like country setting, forests or something. And he's sitting there. And he's got a lav microphone on. That's a lavalier lamp microphone. Like what you put your flower on. Say that's a lav flower. A lovely flower, like that you say it. No, but that goes on your lapel. It's a lapel mic. But he's got it. That's how we record videos, us professionals. I don't. I use a public radio mic that I inadvertently stole in the 80s. So, but anyway, sitting in the woods, and he's speaking, and the mic is up very loud, so he's speaking very softly. Maybe he speaks softly anyway, and that's why they have a mic like that. Oh, here's the wind. I'm sorry about that. That's how you know I'm really outside. That never sounds right. Wind never sounds like it does on a microphone to the human ear, anyway. And he's touting the natural surroundings. He's like, man, you got to be out in nature like this. It's beautiful. It's everything you need. And that's beautiful. And I just want to say that too. I say, I'm sitting here in this beautiful space that you don't have access to. Oh, the air conditioner just came on. Look at that. Now, this is perfect timing, because what I was going to say is not everybody has access to a beautiful, unmarred space to feel good about. Some people are sitting in absolute chaos. Now, I like the sound of the air conditioner behind me. I think it sounds like the womb. I remember being, so my mother's womb was air conditioned. This was not uncommon in the early 60s. And the tiny little air conditioner in there, especially if you were gestating somewhere in the tropics. And so a lot of us, that's why a lot of folks my age are spoiled. But this is, I'm just leaving all the ambient sound that's on here, because it's part of being outside. You can't control it. That's what I'm going to say. So there's two things that inspired me. One, this video of this relaxed gentleman, which is nice. I want to be there too, but I can't. You can't be there literally. So what you want to do is maybe watch this video, green screen him onto somewhere, you know, that's a lot more, makes you feel, where the architecture makes you feel uneasy. There's plenty of places like that. We work in them, we live in them. I love the houses that are designed to make you feel paranoid. A lot of our workspaces are. You drive up to work, you go, what have I done? And you walk into this building and you think, why are there no windows? There's windows, but they're set up in such a way that no one can look out of them. Is it done on purpose? I don't know. I think it's just a reflection. It's just a zeitgeist, you know. The architect is sitting there and going, what's the point? Why, if they see the outside, they'll pine. We don't want them to pine. We want them to just do, you know, crunch their numbers. That made me want cereal. I'm so easily distracted. The other thing that inspired me is there's a fella on the internet. I said it real quietly. On the internet. I'm not supposed to be there. Who's got a theory video about Twin Peaks that's 4.5 hours long. And I thought, I can talk that long about something. And it's very good, by the way, even if you don't have 4.5 hours, that's what I say. It's like advising someone to buy something. Yes, it is $20,000, but it's worth it, even if you don't have the money. But I was thinking, I can speak for 4.5 hours, oh my gosh. So I think I'm going to do a 4.5 hour video explaining the Rockford Files, which is a bit of a challenge. Excuse me, let me cough. I'm going to alarm the neighbors. And did I mention I have allergies? So paying a little bit of a price for being out here. I don't even know what I was saying, but I was coughed my thoughts out of my head. So I'm going to do a 4.5 hour Rockford Files video. It being a little easier to do, unfortunately, because it's pretty straightforward. So I don't know how much explaining. Nobody has really watched it and said, I'm mystified. Now, you might not know the show, so I'm just going to take a little explaining. So I'm going to do that. So why are you talking about it now on the radio? Well, a lot of good things start as radio shows, like Flight of the Conchords or something. You got to try it out on radio. This is good. Let's add pictures. So that's what I'm doing. I'm going to just, this is a preview or preamble. Do you read that, a preface in a book? Do you ever read the preface? Okay, well, I'll read it when I'm done. That's what I always think. I go, what if I read, you know, I don't know if there's spoilers. There probably isn't. I read the acknowledgments because I want to know who else was in on it and who's the really behind this. And it's usually like a beloved aunt or something, or a teacher or somebody, or the person who's publishing it. A lot of time we'll get a, you know, thank you to my agent and my publisher and all the people that paid me the money to do it and the person that I paid to write it. So I thank all those people. But I'm going to do this. And why Rockford Files? It's a show I've liked for a really long time. First of all, the air conditioning. Oh, it's so peaceful. Let's just enjoy the peace. But Rockford would. It's a show I've liked for a very long time, and I believe it has, it does have a sort of a hidden allegory. And while part of that is intentional, part of it is just inherent in the kind of story that they want to tell. So just hear me out. This is what's going to be the basis of my 4.5 hour video. Some of it, I think it's so long, it's so much time. I don't know if the guy set out to do 4.5 hours, probably just ended up being that long. I'm setting out to do that, so I'm going to have to pad it a little. There's going to have to be music or something. He would read quotes, and he would read them in David Lynch's voice. You do an impression. That's what, I don't know what I will do. I don't know who's, I'll have to do somebody, maybe I'll do that. Read quotes from Rockford Files or people have written about it, but read it as Stuart Margolin or something, you know. I could do that. Jimmy, it's heavy. This is heavy. I don't know these fellas. I don't know. Like that or something. I don't know whether that, I might work that in there. Jimmy. But here's the main thing. So the backstory of Rockford Files is he was in the military. He's in the Army. He was in Korea. Jim Rockford was the character. Also the actor, James Garner. So you see that. There's a lot of autobiography going on here, too, and I'll explain in a moment. So the character is in the Army, and then he gets involved with something, and he goes to jail unjustly. He's wrongly convicted and sent to jail. And so in jail, in prison, rather, he meets various nefarious characters who will go on to, you know, to meet in various forms. Right, we bump into them again, and I'll tell you about them. So then he gets out, and being in prison leaves him with special skills because he's learned the ways of the criminal, but he's also a good guy. He's not a criminal himself. So he goes on to help people. He uses something that was a misfortune, where he learned something in jail, and he goes on to use it, those skills, to help people. Like, say, Buddy told him about safe cracking. I don't know if that's a specific one, whatever. But Isaac Hayes, he went to jail with, and Stuart Margolin, Angel. So those people still, he still knows and everything. Now, what's that equate to? To me, it equates to the old 50s kind of wagon train Daniel Boone stories, where you have somebody, usually somebody was military, who then was either captured or willingly lived with Native Americans, learned their ways of tracking and going and finding paths based on animal poo and all, and then brought that and said, hey, I'll use that to help get you to your real estate property. And that's what Daniel Boone, at least, say. But that's not what Rockford's doing. He's saying, if you have, you know, if you need somebody followed for a divorce case or whatever, I'm a cheap detective. So he's also on the side of the law. Excuse me, I need to... Oh, it's lovely. I'm sitting right next to these items that look as if they were put on earth to suffocate me. And I'm going to speak right through them. I've never had to speak outside for an extended time like this. I'm losing my voice. I'm going to power through it because it's lovely out. But don't you do this. Don't go outside. I should know better than this, to be out here with that my dust mask on. But then how would you hear me? How could you hear me? Now you can. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? I can. Thank you, Hardy. And then there's Dennis Becker, who is the cop friend. Now the cop friend, his name is Becker. Now, you know the expression beck and call, so that's beckon. So beck is short for one who calls, Becker, one who calls. Who calls? The law calls. The law is calling to Jim Rockford. The law is calling him, right? But also, he has another foot in the scheming kind of thing, just like his previous show, Maverick, where they were flamboyant but beloved schemers kind of thing, just like that. So he's in between two worlds, and he's able to be a guide because he's in between two worlds. He's a sort of psychopomp. He's a sort of spiritual guide, but he's also a literal one. He's a someone who, but he's also a mercenary. Isn't that interesting? So there's a lot of things to it, and I'm going to have to talk for a long time, so I'll have to get into, I'll have to make some things up, I think, about it. And an easy one will be that his manager was also the producer of the show. They don't let that happen anymore. His agent, rather, was the producer of the show. That's a tremendous conflict of interest, I think. So they're called super managers. And Mita Rosenberg, you've heard me mention her before. So Mita, M-E-T-A. Also, you could read that Meta. See what I'm doing? See where I'm going? So everything about it could be, you know, about itself. This is about a TV show. What we want from entertainment. What do we want from entertainment? We want our entertainment to be our Daniel Boone detective guy. Private Eye. Private Dick. So we look out for me, Dick Boone. Daniel Dick. Whatever your name is. Private Eye. That's what we want, I think, for a lot of times. So we look to entertainment, or we look to figures like that and say, are you going to guide me? There are woods around. Oh, there are terrible dark woods, aren't there? I'm looking around. Most of this is landscaped. With the same, it's so funny, because they're the same trees that normally would be in a deep, dark, scary wood. So it's context. It's also how many there are, like dogs. One dog, okay. 10, whoops. Then there's the in-between, you know, you never know. And it depends on the type of dogs, so, and their temperament. So it depends on the type of trees and their temperament and how many there are and whether you can see beyond the trees. Can you see beyond the trees? Do you mean that literally? Yes, I do, actually. That would be the definition of a forest. You can't see beyond the trees. Do you mean something by that? No. Just that would be scary if you don't, it'd be hard to orient yourself. So then that's when you need a guide, literally. You'd need somebody to say, look down. It's just like a house of mirrors. Just look, if you just look at your feet, you can see where the fanged monkeys have walked, and then follow them. I don't know if I want to follow them. Why would we follow them? So they would know where they're going. Just because something knows where it's going doesn't mean it's not a baboon or a mandrill or something with fangs that's hungry for your flesh. It might be. It might want to bite you and eat. It might be a terror bird. You go, look at this. What am I following? An emu? No, that's no emu. That's a cassowary, and it's going to gut you. That's what I'd say. So I don't know if you should follow. Look down. Know what you're following. Are you writing these rules down? No, Hardy, I thought. You don't have to write them down. At the end of the show, I give out these fun cups, and the cups have all the stuff I've said that's pertinent on them, and you take those home, and you can use them to drink your beer or juice or anything like that. I was having an online meeting with a friend who had their birthday, and they wanted to drink cocktails, and I'm not really drinking anymore, so I had an artificial one. I had a faux cocktail, artificial cocktail. It looked super real, though, but it wasn't. It was, I would slowly drink it, but it was made out of wax. I probably could just had orange juice or said, you know, oh, it's a screwdriver. But this was elaborate, and I don't feel great now for drinking the wax cocktail. No, I didn't do that. That's silly. I just had a seltzer. They didn't care. They didn't even ask. Oh, you say, if I said follow me, you would, because you know me. But normally, if you didn't, you wouldn't. But I wouldn't say follow me in a bad... If I said follow me, believe me, there'd be something fun at the end, like chocolates. So if you didn't like chocolates, you don't have to eat them. But, you know, they're nice, right? I just want to show you this. I got nothing planned for you. You can hire me, Rockford-like, to be a detective, and I'll try to get you there, or I'll try to explain something to you. If it's specific, I'm probably not good with big picture. You hire a detective, say, I'm hiring you. What do you want me to find out? Everything. I want you to find out everything. Well, can you be more specific? Like who, maybe, you know, my business partner is taking money from the business. No. Everything. Who's taking money from everywhere? Who's been everywhere? I want to know everything about everything. Enlighten me. Oh, okay. I can't because I'm sworn to tell the truth, but go down a couple blocks and there's theaters and churches and everything, and they will tell you everything that you want to hear, and they'll lead you wherever you know. They'll read you first. They look at you and they read you and they figure out where you want to go, and then they'll take you there and say that they figured it out, and they did, but you told them. Oh, we tell everything about ourselves silently, constantly, don't we? I do it out loud in words. Some people do it through their actions or anything. But you don't have to. You don't have to confess your feelings. I like quiet people. I like quiet. There was a... on Captain Kangaroo, there was a bear. I think it's Dancing Bear. And I could be misremembering, but I don't think Dancing Bear talked. And Dancing Bear, I don't believe, had a mouth. Instead of a mouth, the Dancing Bear had the Tide detergent logo, where a mouth would be. And that meant that the bear then had to express himself in a different way. And how did he do that? Dancing. He would dance his feelings. It's hard to dance you can dance warnings. Folk songs in the 60s gave us permission. They said you can dance out justice or warning or hammer it out. Just any way you want in your little heart.
Is my heart little?
It's little compared to like a whale's heart, I imagine. They wash up on beaches all the time. Do our hearts wash up on beaches? Beaches of our desire. So, oh, I wanted to swim in close to the beach and I accidentally beached myself. My heart got hung up on it. Like I was climbing over a fence and I got the seat of my pants caught on the edge of the fence. And it got ripped off and then everybody could see my bare bottom as I was running away. And that's the way the whale is, except it's its heart and it gets torn out. And whales can live without a heart, but humans can't. We need one to swim. Whales are hollow. I know that from cartoons and everything. If you get in them, you can live in them because they're just big Quonset huts. You know what's a whale? They have going now up in New York is the Oculus. That's a whale. Look, it's got the whale bone. It's supposed to be the carcass of a whale, but you're inside of it. It's a Jonah joke. And I don't have a similar thing here. I don't have any hollow whales, and there's no hollow people. Believe me, you're full of guts. A lot of you are so gutsy. I'm so... Isn't that wonderful? Is that... What's that? Just you're full of viscera. And the viscera sometimes is courageous. You're a bunch of courageous intestines is what you are. Oh, I love that. That's a good way of looking at yourself. Say, I'm intestines, which are, by definition, full of poo. So I'm full of it, but also guts means you're courageous. You know, those poo sleeves or pipes or whatever they are, they're not really pipes because they're like garden hose that's too flexible. So I've got this garden hose made out of sausage casings, and it's the source of my courage. What's the source of your courage? Is it somebody else or is it you? Could you be Rockford? You have to go through trials sometimes. See, I don't know if he could have been the person that he was, if he could have helped others if he hadn't gone to prison. So prison is no fun. But he learned, oh, not everybody is there who deserves to be there. And even the people who have committed crimes, like Angel. Angel is a complicated person. He's good and bad, mixed together. That's why they call him Angel. He's both... You know, capable of friendship and doing the right thing. Maybe, actually, we don't know. And he's also, you know, just out for himself. So his name is literal and ironic at the same time. Oh, what a complicated show. What a complicated show. And we're complicated shows, aren't we? Every time you do one thing, you cast the shadow of its opposite. So if I sit here and I said, oh, the calm beauty out. You just take in this beauty, listen to my voice, and let it calm you. See the trees, smell their tree odor, odor of the dirt. Odor's not a great word. Fragrance, that's stupid too. What is it? Aroma. Smell them. Anyway, take a big snort of this dirt. Take a hit of the summer air. Well, every time I do that, every time I'm calming, I cast the shadow of chaos. I cast the shadow of every moment of stillness has a reflection of chaos. And every chaotic thing, like that trip on the PATH train or something at rush hour, all that chaos has a moment of stillness in it. You've seen it. It's like a shadow or a reflection. So every time you do, you focus on that one thing. The other is looming at the edges of your vision. Oh, and I want to be your friend at the edges of your vision. You look at one thing. I want you to look at me, and now you're seeing another. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Like an optical illusion. I want to be a sort of optical illusion for you, feelings-wise. Say, I'm moved. I am both amused and moved and the opposite at the same time. Hardy, how you doing that? Well, I'm just, I'm not trying to do anything, you know, and I'm making, well, I'm going out of my way not to do anything. And I think that's what you're sensing. So you seem to be doing that, but you seem to have my best interest in mind without knowing who I am. Oh, what a general net you have to cast for that to happen. Yes, imagine all the beings whose best interest I have in mind if I caught you up in my big fishing scheme. So yes, but it's a general affection for the living that I have, and that you're part of that too. And I am part of that as well. I give myself credit for being alive and saying, yes, this is hard. It's hard to live, hard to make the choices required to live and to keep living, hard not to feel guilty for not living. Sickness, with sickness comes some guilt, because we're made to think we're other or we're failing at something. And so I recognize that, and I see you, and I know you're listening to this. I'm really fighting the urge to have to run. See, I really am legitimately outside, and I'm trying not to keep running inside to make sure it's still recording, because sometimes it stops, and I would know, gosh, I could have been talking for a half hour and not even known it. Oh, let's hope not. Right now, I'm just digging on the plants, looking at things growing and sensing that it's time to grow. And I'm just thinking about, oh, they're going to be in such a shock in a few months when it's time to die. But, you know, I can see the arc because it's happened a bunch of times. But I haven't seen my own, but I imagine that's going to happen too at some point. You know, I'll grow and I'll grow and I'll grow, and then I'll wither and then I'll be gone. And then I will not pop up again like a tulip. Isn't that amazing? What if that would be disconcerting if you went to the cemetery and people were like tulip bulbs and they're back up at a certain season. Oh, and here comes the air conditioning returns. Let's say you did have a case or something that you wanted solved. What would it be that I could do? $200 a day plus expenses back in the 70s. That's like a couple thousand now or something, 500,000 a minute. No, I don't think it's that much. But would you have, let's say, I'll do it for free because we're having fun. But what would you want me to inspect, a detective? I don't want to really follow anybody unnecessarily unless you think they took something. Say, yeah, I was jamming with a guy and I think he took my pedal. And you go, what kind of pedal was it? And you say, oh, it's like compression pedal. Go, oh, I don't know, man. Was it super rare or anything? Let's just buy another one. I'll buy you another one. Take the money we're going to use to hire me and buy another one. And we'll just, because what if it's just lost? Then you pay me money. This guy didn't take it. Make it something better than that. Say, oh, okay, what's my purpose? Do I have a purpose? Am I supposed to be here? I keep feeling like I'm failing at my personal relationships. Do people want to be my friends? Am I not likable? I don't know what's going on. Well, now we've swung hard over to the other direction. And I was hoping to strike some happy medium. But if you want to do that one, I would say, a good way to answer those broad questions like that, where you're full of doubt and everything, is to imagine that you are hiring Jim Rockford, or Jim Rockford hyphen Files, if he was Files, Rockford Files, Baron Rockford Files, and you're hiring him to do some work for you. So you can't have something that specific, so you got to narrow it down anyway. So take one of those questions like, you know, am I a good person or something? One of those wonderful nonsense questions that's haunting you. And make it more specific. And say stuff like this. Say, do I paint better than Hitler? So, and maybe answers yes or no. And then you say, well, if the answer is no, you're going to go, well, that doesn't make me, just because I don't paint as well as Hitler, are you saying I'm not as good as? And you go, okay, oh, you're starting to catch on. So what if you paint better than Hitler? That says nothing either. So this thing that you're doing that has no real moral implications doesn't matter, does it, when I frame questions like that? So let's put accomplishments aside. Let's talk about legacies that are more important. And that's like whether you've been whether you've, you know, made things worse for people or not. And if you have, oh, it's so easy to stop doing it a lot of times. You can change. It seems like you can't, because we like to hold people accountable for things they've done in the past and then keep them from changing. There's a whole part in the Bible that's devoted to that, that, you know, people want to leave, they can't be convinced to leave their oppression. So, yeah, you got to bail out of Egypt. You go, I don't know, we've been here so long. You get accustomed to oppressing yourself. And you gotta break away into that wonderful desert. Why is the desert so wonderful? If it weren't, people wouldn't be moving west and setting up casinos and everything like they did years ago. Yes, the desert's nice. People live in the desert. Well, not people, lizards and all. But there's all sorts of flora. Succulents, I guess. But the desert is just as valid as, say, really swamp that smells like people gas. There's that too. Those are wonderful places. I like places that have a mix that you look at like a swamp. I in North Florida, I had access to a lot. Thank you, sir. To a lot of going to actual swamps, and some of them do smell of decay, which is wonderful. Which is why there's so much biodiversity there, because there's just in a constant state of flux. The life, death, birth, death turnover is fast and furious, and it's just a soup of biology, and it's lovely. It's ecosystem upon ecosystem, and just gross. Most of it gross, disgusting, lovely, and I like going there because there's balance. You know, I get to see things that scare me. Things, because survival isn't pretty. Survival is sometimes being an alligator or a broad-headed skink, and you look nasty, but you're making it, and it's unruly. You know, there's vines and things like that, and there's a beauty, and it's a menacing beauty. It's the thing that gives you birth and life, and it's the thing that tears you apart. Those vines grow up in your split your skull if you die right there. If you died in a bed of English ivy, and that'd have you ripped apart in short order, wouldn't it? Let some of you do that. I'll give you some English ivy seeds you can snort upon your death, and then we'll see what happens. There was that song that was in Brother, Where Art Thou? Bertzilla Wallen did the original version, a Conversation with Death. But it's in the movie, and but Bertzilla Wallen doing it like death's right there. Have you ever heard her version? Oh death, like right there's like, man, death's like, she's like sitting on his lap at a mall or something. She's so close to it sounds like. It's a Conversation with Death. And anyway, she's saying, you know, I know the worms are going to be up on in me, in my head and all. My brain's going to be worm food. And it's all, and go up in my nose. And that's all macabre. And say, why are you being so macabre? It's so beautiful to face things and de-scaryize them. Because if you do go out and you sit in the real woods and you look down, you're going to find a little skull with some bugs crawling in it. And I like that just as much as the butterfly and the blossom and everything. I like the browns and the yellows and the tans and everything. All the things that don't are considered not to be colors, but they're colors too. You know, not just the green. And then there's other kinds of green. Those greens that come with like moss and lichen and everything. The blue, all the stuff that's in cemeteries. Why is it so dark? It's not dark. Well, it is dark, but there's dark and it wouldn't be light. It's nice. I'm looking at the balance. I'm looking at both of them. Isn't that what you do when you make a painting or anything like that? When you make a Rockford, don't you make an angel? Don't you make a Becker? Don't you split them into pieces like we do gods? Like we do our personalities? Oh, that's what I do when I come outside. I divide everything up into tree and lawn and everything. I name it all. But when I stop naming it, it just feels like I'm on the back of a giant. These are things growing out of it. He'd be appalled if the giant could see the surface of his skin. He'd be like, oh, that's disgusting. And I go, oh, man, I know. Everything is smooth and even from your perspective out there, giant. You look at your face, you don't see the pores. I'm living in a pore like it's a sinkhole. I'm sitting on the edge of it. There's old trees and stuff like that. It's vast. It's a vast canyon. This pore on your cheek. Which cheek are we on, too, giant? I don't even know. You know, I know there's... I probably got neighbors. Am I whispering or yelling? I don't know anymore. I might be doing both. And should they hear me, they will hear me in a similar manner than you over the radio, over the air. That'd be great if you could just hear my show by sticking your head out the window. You could if you had some, like, radio earbuds on or something. But I mean just my voice carried that far. Amy Mann says, not of me, we've never met, she doesn't know me, says voices carry. She says be quiet. You have to be quiet, though. Shush. Voices carry. You're not going to be able to... What she means, you're not going to be able to hear them unless you shut up. A lot of people think it means the opposite, like they're going to overhear us. Keep your voice down. Like she's being shushed by a dude. But that's not the way I read it. The way I read it is, hey, it's her speaking, and she's saying, you cannot hear the still, small voice that's coming from the other side of the globe. And it could be Hardy White. I don't know. I'm not saying it was me, that the song's about me. It's not. Do I even imagine that things are? No, I don't have to. But that's fine. I've made up songs about myself. They're not as good. But I don't have to imagine that I'm a bigger deal than I am or anything. I did that for a while, maybe. When? Infancy? But now I've tried to get away from it because, you know, the world is more vast than I realized when I was a child. It's expanded considerably since I was little. It was just my room and my family. Now they're mostly dead, and that room is gone. And the world tended to, you know, turned out to be some place I had to go forth into. It wasn't a solitary spot. It was this thing that had to be navigated. And how do you do it? You know, I'm telling you this like it's history and everything, but it is appalling to me. So the ancestors, they stole the land what is now Kentucky, and then they sold it to white people, and then those white people were like, oh, I bought some stolen land very far from here. I need to get to it. I'm going to hire Daniel Boone, real estate trailblazer. And he was like the early OnStar or whatever. And so he'll get me there. And he would take you there to your property. And there'd be somebody there already. Go, they sold me this property. It was the Lincolns. And they're going, we bought this too. And... So we still, we want to go forward into places that we believe where we belong, futures that are our land that we believe we've been deeded, and now we want somebody desperately to take us there and to navigate these dangers that lie between us and this other distant place. And it just seems to me that you're on a Wizard of Oz quest where you think the answer lies at the end of this path, and you think you need like a little small army to navigate the flying monkeys, but what's really going on is you have absolutely mistaken where the thing you need resides. It doesn't have to reside at the end of this treacherous journey. That isn't your land. It's somebody else's land. And, you know, yours is under your feet. You go, well, maybe that isn't mine either. Well, it is now, because it's where your feet are at. So instead of jumping from one stolen land to the other, take this one and redeem it. Redeem yourself and your occupancy upon this place that you are. This goes for anywhere in the world. So you just say, what is my reason for being here? I don't know. You make up a reason, and all you have to do... is make sure that you can justify your existence to the dirt.
Well, will it respond?
I don't know. That's the tricky thing. See, I keep saying things to it, and it just stares at me. So I don't know if I'm doing it right or not. I don't think anybody ever knows. So I think if you got a situation like that, where maybe nobody ever knows, that's a lot of wiggle room. So we'll just say things in life to make it look like we're not wishy-washy. And then we'll end up thinking whatever we want. Listen to this. If you got this far in the show, then you realize that this is a show about thinking whatever you want. And you think, well, that no one needs to tell me that. And you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. You know, it's like you buy a truck and you say, I'm driving along. I'm loving this truck. And I say to you, you know, there's a governor on it. And you go, I beg your pardon? I go, there's a governor on the truck. It's set up so you can't get past 70 miles an hour in the truck. And then you say, well, that can't be. And I go, well, have you tried to go past 70 miles an hour? And you say, well, no. And I go, well, there you go. Why don't you go try it? And then you'll see there's a governor on your truck. You know, things are not what they appear. You think you've got that freedom to go as fast as you want, but you don't. So come on over to having that governor removed.
Does that require damage to my prefrontal cortex?
I don't think so. I don't know. It might. I don't think it does, though. Let's not go that far. No, I don't think it does. I think that you can think freely without, anything, any kind of damage to your... What's the terrible movie, the Aronofsky one with the drill in the head? That's not something to think about right now. Let's put that image out of our brain.
I can't now.
I'm sorry. It's like just pretend you didn't smell that odor. You can't put it back in, Hardy. Oh, I'm sorry. I take it back. Some things you can't take back. Most things are like emanations like that in that they are. It's very hard to take them back in. Too bad of it. Oh, how long have I been... There's something in my water. I've been taking sips out of it, and something else is enjoying a little swim in there, like it's a backyard above-ground pool for a bug. And it's nice. He's going, oh, this water, it's a little clear. It's too clear. I was hoping they would put a backyard pool that's more like a pond. That's the kind the mosquitoes like. No, but not a real one would have fish in it, which would eat the mosquitoes. And then there'd be that recursive thing that is an ecosystem. If the house that Jack built, if the end of it comes back and eats Jack or something, then I think it's a perfect little self-contained system, right? The mouse eats the cheese that lives in the rat, that lives in the cat, the mouse, the Jack, the rat, right? So it all goes in a circle, and at the end, the house... Or the bag of grain, rather, something eats the human, and then it all starts over again. I don't know how that works. I don't know how much works. I'm hoping this is working. It's a lot of it is an act of faith or a leap of faith, because I don't know whether it's even has recorded this. Fun if it has. I love visiting with you outside. And the whole point has been to point out two things. Yeah, one is, I could sit here all day in this beautiful setting and describe it to you and tell you it's just what you need, but if you don't have access to it, it's meaningless. It's meaningless. I can tell you all day what you need to do is travel. If you don't have the money to travel, it's pointless. I can tell you all day long that you need to go to the beach if you can't get there. If you live in a place that has no access to flowing water, and I tell you that's the key to happiness, what have I done but condemn you to fail? Oh, no, that's not the case at all. I'm sitting in just a flawed place, just like you are. The air conditioner comes on. The sirens go on. The allergies, they get me. Oh, all these things could be better if you were here and I was there with you. That's what's required. Oh, the setting will never be perfect. The circumstances of our meeting, I believe, will never be perfect. We will always just barely get there. We will never have the perfect Rockford detective. We will never have someone who can solve the mystery. All we get is somebody who can get back that letter and maybe prove a small part of the puzzle that can keep us out of jail because he's friends with Becker. He's friends with the law. Oh, my friend. I call you friend. Why you call me friend? Because I believe you'll turn around. Because then I can figure out whether you're good-hearted or not. Because if you don't want to be my friend, well, then that's awesome. I'll find out up front. If you don't, I say, hey, friend, and you turn around, we have potential. If I say, hey, friend, and you don't, then I save time because I would have wasted my time to be friends with you. And then it turns out you don't even consider yourself a friend. So let's, well, why don't you try harder? It was a nonsensical thing. I just meant it in general. I don't mean literally. Don't worry. I'm so confusing. I do that on purpose, but still, it baffles even me. Sometimes I've even confused myself, even though I sit down to say a specific thing, and I think a very specific thing. I don't like generalities. I only like them as a setup. Say, yes, where does the play take place? Italy. Get more specific than that. A castle in Italy. Where? In a room, in the throne room in a castle in Italy. In a throne room in the castle of Italy, there's a prince and a queen. Like, say, keep getting more specific. That's the way I'm trying to do it. That's the only reason I would introduce generalities, because I want to get right down to it. I want to get right down to the pith, right down to the basic, and that is, friend, I don't want you to be discouraged. I don't want you to give up, because I think you're closer to what you need than what you may realize. And I hope that's true if you just maybe be a little bit more patient with yourself. You know, you don't have to spoil yourself. You don't spoil children by being patient with them. Say say the alphabet. A, B, C. What is it? I don't know. See, that's not how you do the alphabet. You say A, B, C, D. You can do it. Take your time. E, C. See how that works? That's encouragement and that's patience. That's what you do with yourself. Not this screaming, demanding. You're not being tougher. You're not being smarter by bullying yourself. What you want is the end result of learning the alphabet. That's what you want. At the end of the day, you want to know the alphabet. It doesn't matter how tough you look as a teacher getting there, like the student's gotten the best of you by, you know, taking its time. No, no, no. Oh, my friends, I'm so glad to be with you. I'm so glad to hear the air conditioner come on back on. Hello, air conditioner friend. Just like I said, just like my mother's womb, I feel like I'm being reverse born. And I don't want that yet. Because maybe I will forget things near the end. Some people do. The memories dissipate. If mine... I'm not back full of air conditioner exhaust now. It doesn't feel terrible. It's an interesting temperature out. And I think it's going to rain. But I think I just avoided it, friends. We're not going to get rained on. Otherwise, that'd be unfortunate. Say, where's your equipment now? Is that thunder? Oh, that'd be great for sound effects. If only. Oh, I wish it would start thundering. I might add it. If you hear it, I probably added it. Oh, no. But if it happens naturally, now you won't believe me. Oh, who knows? Well, I'm going to walk in. Let's go back. Let's see how we're doing, whether I have to do the end of the show where I say who it's brought to you by. That's not what it means. When I say the call letters and everything. When I say, this is Miracle Nutrition on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County and New York City, New York, and online worldwide at WFMU.org. That's what I would say that. And then I'd say, I will see you again next week. Like that. So let's see if that's what I'm doing or whether the show is going on a little longer. I really was outside. Now I'm working my way inside. This must be exciting for you. I know it must be. Oh, and the show's not... It's really not near over. I guessed wrong. This is what happens to me at my live appearances, too, to be honest. So I'll go and I'll do these live Monty Hall appearances up there in my beloved Jersey City. And then the first one I ever did, I quit right at an hour. And then and everybody was like, man, you are a professional. And I go, yeah, you know, I've been doing this a long time. And I've never done it again. Now I think I know what an hour is. And I'm like 5 minutes short of an hour. So I hope that I didn't do the station ID too early. And now I have to do it again. Because you did it 5 minutes before. It's not 5 minutes before. I'll rearrange stuff. I don't know. So, Oma, it was nice being outside. I can't tell you. It feels... It feels liberating. I look around, I get inspiration everywhere I look, and I think about you. I was sitting in an awkward position on a stone wall, so I can't really recommend that. But everything else about it, I think, was lovely. I had the fresh air was nice, except for it was choking me with dust and pollen. But you know, there's a flip side to everything, isn't there? Not everything. Some things are two-dimensional and there's nothing on the other side. That's scary. It's true, though. Like what? Are there anything truly two-dimensional, like in Flatland, where the fella goes to Flatland and he's trapped in the center square of a tic-tac-toe? Is that how it goes? Nearly. Because in Flatland, there'd be no up. You couldn't go up and you couldn't tunnel down. Nearly Flatland, you can. Well, isn't that just three dimensions if you can go down? I don't know. I've invented the half dimension. That'd be interesting. You can't go. You can't quite. It's not quite depth. It's like semi-depth. Is that? I'm going to invent a branch of physics that's so esoteric. I'll just say stuff like that. So it wouldn't understand. It's all mathematics and I can't explain it to anyone. I can't even my colleagues. I can't be peer-reviewed because I don't have any, because that's how complicated these ideas are. They're so astounding. Are they correct? No. That's an awfully high bar, don't you think? But they don't. I don't know that they have to be correct, because they exist. And just the mere fact that this is something that I conceived of means it is, at some level, a probability. Maybe not a possibility. But it's now out there. It's an idea that exists and therefore could happen. So even though it's not true and it isn't the way things work, stuff changes. And I could go from being a complete raving lunatic to a genius tomorrow if there turns out there are half dimensions. Hardy called it. Thank you. Thank you. But right now, as of now, I know I'm wrong. So it's tough. It's not like being a prophet. Say, oh, go to Nineveh and tell them to repent. Oh, I'll do Jonah later. Did I ever mention Jonah or hollow? Have I ever talked about hollow whales or anything? Yes, you did it before. I think earlier today. Okay, I'll check back. I don't tend to go back and listen to the show, so sometimes I don't know. And why don't you go back and listen to your own show? It scares me. I'm afraid that I'll pick up on something I've said. And I don't want to do that. I like things just being left in memory. I do that with social occasions, too. I don't, because I'll sit there and second-guess them. So I leave a party, and I don't ever think about it again. Because if I do, I'll say, I know I said something stupid to Greg. Like that. That'll happen to me. And then let's forget it. So I would just wait, and then maybe I'll see that person that was there later, and they'll go, man, that was a great party. And I go, oh, yeah, man, I have no memory of that, but... Just that it was a good time. So that's all I take away now. It's problematic when people have asked me to send them things or something. I say, oh, when did that? I asked you at that party. Pop, 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 pow. That's why. Because I don't remember that. I don't remember a lot of interactions because of that. To go, oh, maybe I did something stupid. But I've tried to put that aside because, I won't get anything done. So I'm just at some point, I'm going to have to be content with the things that Hardy says. And that's how I'm going to have to navigate. It's like when you know you got this old clunker of an airplane and, you know, you're an adventurer or something. This is going to have to be good enough to get us to our destination. Do-do-do-do. Exactly. Oh, my friends, I love you so much. I'm so glad to be with you. I already said what you're listening to. But now I'll say I will see you again next week.
Yeah. come alive. I'm singing, come alive. I'm singing, come alive. I'm singing, come alive. I'm singing, come alive. If anybody asks you, what's the matter with me? For my life.